Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, their big July 4th Monday Night Raw, at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, first off, folks, we already knew that the WWE, and rightfully so, was not going to put on a five-star show on the 4th of July when clearly they felt that the vast majority of people would not be watching it, at least on that day. Traditionally, the 4th of July, if you have a show on the 4th of July, there's people doing things, there's people going places, there's people out watching fireworks, they're not watching Monday Night Raw. So rightfully, the WWE, I guess, decided let's not do anything of any critical importance because the vast majority of people will probably miss it, and that's probably correct. However, wow, this was definitely a show that had no fireworks. Let's put it that way. This was definitely a mail-it-in show. Now, you could argue the feature match was a good match, but I'll tell you, folks, the vast majority of this was filler. The vast majority of it. And before we even start out reviewing this, I did want to mention that apparently Shotzi Blackheart, now she's just being called Shotzi, deleted her Twitter account after she received some negative feedback about her performance in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, I understand where she's coming from. She did blow a spot or two, and she got called on it. And I fully understand where she's coming from, that some people might have went too far. Some people said she should be fired. You know, she could have screwed up and hurt people, and she has no talent, she should be fired, and blah, blah, blah. And her response to it is, I don't mind a little criticism, but when you call for me to be fired, I really think that's going too far. Everyone had a good time, and nobody got hurt. Well, Shotzi, you're missing the point twice. First point, everybody had fun and nobody got hurt. That's a moot point. That's like saying I fell off the roof of my house, but I didn't get hurt. But you're not going to jump off it again. And you probably hope you don't fall off it again. Just because you got lucky and nobody got hurt does not mean that what you did was okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to blow a spot. Everybody blows a spot here or there, but it's not okay. And the attitude shouldn't be, oh, well. The attitude should be like fully aware of it, totally embarrassing, not happening again. If I can control it. That's all. Second thing is, oh, you're not supposed to call for somebody to lose their job over blowing a spot that could hurt somebody, but it's okay to call for somebody to lose their job over their political belief. So let's see which is worse. Calling for someone to be fired based upon the fact that if they didn't get lucky, they could have potentially injured someone severely with their lack of being able to pull off a move correctly. Or because they believe or vote the wrong way, according to you. Which one of those do you think is more fair? So before we go boo-hoo-hooing because people said, and I'm not for these people, I don't think she deserves to be fired. Everybody blows a spot. I guess Seth Rollins should be fired then for smashing John Cena's nose into a million pieces, right? And supposedly hurting Finn Balor, even though I will maintain till the day I die it's Finn Balor's fault. Irregardless of that, she should not have been called for to lose her job. But you see how quickly the hypocrisy comes out. I'm just deleting my account because boo-hoo-hoo, people called for me to lose my job because I didn't do my job well. But the people who are doing their job well and vote the wrong way or have different ideologies than you, they do need to be fired. That can't continue. That's positively absurd, Mike. So, you know, Shotzi took her ball and went home. She should have faced it like a woman and said, hey, you know, listen, you can call for me to be fired if you want. But the WWE clearly knows that I don't do this on a regular basis. They clearly know these matches with 6-7 women in it is very chaotic, and sometimes it's hard to nail every single thing you're supposed to do. And my work rate is fine, and believe me, I was just as embarrassed as whatever about this, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Instead, she takes her ball and goes home.
She takes her ball and goes, I mean, basically, she pulled Sasha Banks. I mean, really. You know, think about it. And you know, if she wants to talk about taking her ball and going home, how many years, whatever, did we on this show get all over Nia Jax for basically hurting people? And we were saying, well, she should be fired. And we had legitimate reasons for saying she should be fired. I mean, for God's sakes, she broke Becky Lynch's nose, right?
Yep.
So
many instances.
So, yeah. And so yeah, and I guess you can make the argument, well, Shotzi wasn't there. But again, I'm equating something here that you know, this may be a one and only time in this particular match that something like that has happened. But you're not allowed to say this stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff she said was stuff that you would want her to hear her say, but not with all the hypocrisy that's going on nowadays with, oh, we're going to fire Jackson Riker because he came out for Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. If you can't have your own, I think we lost Todd accidentally. See if we get you back. If you can't have your own ideologies without being fired, then I get, like I said, which is more important, your ideology is never going to hurt somebody in the ring. Your lack of being able to successfully complete moves will. So while I agree with Shotzi, I've not seen her to be unsafe in the past. And I agree with her. It's very tough in a multi-woman match like that. Spots get blown all the time by very, very, very successful athletes. Certainly, she should not be fired for it. But take the heat, Shotzi. Because the same people who are saying that you should be fired for this, and the same people who are sticking up for you, your buddies, who are going on to their account saying it's outrageous to be called, unsafe and should be fired for just one incident. Okay, well, are you the same people who are okay calling for somebody to be fired because they disagree with your political ideologies? Because if you are, then you're a hypocrite. Anyway, let's get to Monday Night Raw. We started out with Bobby Lashley. Another good crowd, by the way. Very good crowd out in San Diego. Not as good as Las Vegas, but a good crowd. Bobby Lashley basically comes out and says he's going to be a fighting champion and there's nobody in any federation that could take him, which led to wild speculation about, oh, are we going to have a Forbidden Door AEW, WWE? No, that's not happening. Not in this particular landscape of how things are running. That's not happening. Obviously, Theory comes out, says it really doesn't matter. I got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm on to bigger and better things. And then inexplicably just says, well, we're having a 6-man tag team match tonight, but I'm getting another shot at this title at SummerSlam. Okay. Well, you can't really have it both ways. If you're saying I'm on to bigger and better things, gotcha, agree with you, perfect. But then you're saying, but I want that belt. But I also want the other belt. Number one, it does is reveal who's going to win, right? Unless he cashes in before SummerSlam, which it's not going to happen. All it does is reveal who's going to win. It also reveals he's not cashing in before SummerSlam. See, that's another bad thing. Not that he would anyway, because I guess Roman Reigns isn't around, so when's he going to cash in? They say Roman Reigns is coming back next week, but not to wrestle. I just didn't like the segment because it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going for the Intercontinental belt, even though I have the Money in the Bank briefcase. Don't like it. Don't like it. And we're told, well, the six-man tag team match is going to consist of the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. And they'll be taking on, who was it? Obviously, Theory and the Alpha Academy. Okay. Well, we already know the Alpha Academy's laughing stocks, and obviously the Street Profits are being pushed a bit, so that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a total no-brainer. So, Adam, the opening is what it is. I'm not even going to discuss it. It's okay. Let's get to that first match, which is the Mysterios versus the Judgment Day. And there was a little bit of a teaser, wasn't there, where they were saying to Dominic, maybe you're not being raised right. Maybe your dad hasn't taught you right. Maybe you should come over to the dark side type thing. So there was a tiny little glimmer of, could that happen? Could that potentially happen? Not only did it not potentially happen, but now I hope every single one of you who said, oh, they don't really need Edge to be a successful faction. This is going to work out just fine. I hope you remember saying that to me when I told you this is going to be a disaster. They lose. Now they lose by chicanery and trickery, a little bit of an Eddie Guerrero move there where obviously Finn Balor has the steel chair, doesn't use it. Ray pretends he does use it. Referee believes him and disqualifies him. Doesn't matter. Makes the Judgment Day look like total buffoons. Total buffoons. They can attack them later and probably have a match at SummerSlam, which they might win or might not. Doesn't matter. The Judgment Day hype, the big deal about them, is done. It's done. They had about a three-week run, and now it's right down the toilet with that nonsense, Todd. And I hate to say I told you so, but I did.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when they were making the Judgment Day, like jokes, like jackasses, you know, like you said, I thought it was going to be a serious stable, but now they just want to make them into like a joke now. Anyway,
they lost Rhea for probably a little while longer, maybe a long while longer. Damian Priest hadn't wrestled out in how long. Finn Balor's not good on the mic. It's just not working, Mike, and we predicted it wasn't going to work.
It's just not, yeah, we predicted this, and Lordy B, we had somebody win in their hometown.
Yeah, about that. I guess that was the point, yeah, so, well, we want to have the fans be happy on the 4th of July, whatever, you know. I just think it was too soon for the Judgment Day to lose in any way, shape, or form. You didn't see that happen to Gunther, right? Why didn't that happen to Gunther? It's the 4th of July. How come R-Truth didn't trick him somehow and get him disqualified? Because that would weaken him, right? So what do you think he did to the Judgment Day? Oh, just sets up a feud with them. Okay, well, then I could argue just sets up a feud with him and R-Truth. You didn't do it because you know it weakens the character. So don't tell me that did not weaken the Judgment Day. Because quite obviously it did. Quite obviously it did. Now, if there's anything to recommend in this show, and even that was done very poorly and wrong, the Street Profits, I guess, were having some kind of a 4th of July party, and the Alpha Academy is there, and somehow Otis got challenged to a hot dog eating contest with Dawkins. That's funny. I was actually looking forward to it. I said, are we really going to see these two guys sit down and really have a hot dog eating contest? If we are, I'm kind of interested in it. I really am. Now, the problem with this is twofold. One, it really doesn't look like Dawkins would have a chance anyway. Otis has always been promoted as the you know, the big eater and the, you know, bottomless pit type guy who's walking around with a whole ham, right? But two, we didn't even see it. They just come back to it, and it's at the end. They eat like one hot dog. But the savior of this entire angle was once again Tozawa and his facial expressions. When Tozawa is announced as the winner, Tozawa does not look like he's going to be able to keep those hot dogs down. I will go to my grave saying, if you do not utilize Tozawa more often in these skits where he can show his acting chops and his ability to reach the audience just by his facial expressions, his body language, and his mannerism, you are wasting a major talent. And any wrestler who can do that, you're wasting a major talent anyway by not putting him in the ring and letting the fans get behind him in a serious manner. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he does comedy well. He can still do the comedy well. But put him in the ring and allow the fans to get behind him, because they will. This thing would have bombed if they just said, well, it's a draw. Or, well, okay, Otis wins. And you didn't even see it. It's a disaster, right? People be like, well, that's horribly disappointing. The only saving grace of this was the camera panning over to Tozawa, who's obviously a third of both of their sizes, and he won, which is not necessarily unreasonable considering that I think the hot dog eating champion is a pretty small guy, actually. I think I've seen him on TV once. He's not big. But Tozawa's facial expressions, 1,000% on the money. Saved the whole entire thing for me, Mike. I think they got something in this guy, and they're just not using him to the maximum capacity.
Absolutely, and think about this. You know, one of the previous winners of that, the famous Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, was a small guy from Japan.
Yep. Yep.
So think about it. I mean, that was a logical kind of ending to that, what was a funny skit, because think about it. Yeah, Tozawa is great. They have something in Tozawa, and we've all said this before. He's great, but on his face, you got to look deeper at that whole. Yeah, they should have showed more of it, and whatever. But on his face, you got to look deeper, and the fact, and if you know the history of that hot dog eating contest, the actual one at Nathan's, and you know about this little small little. He's retired now, but small old Japanese guy that always used to be in the top two or three people in that contest for a long time, then you get it, you know? You get the fact that you got...
The only thing about it, though, is I would have shown... Here's what I would have done. I would have done it a little bit differently. I would not have had Tozawa in the contest. I would have really shown... At least part, you can't show them really eating 30 hot dogs because they're not going to. But you could have shown them eating the last four or five, right? So at least you got a little bit of funniness in there. Otis should have won by one hot dog. And when Chad Gable was saying, I told you, Otis is the king of the hot dogs, Otis was like, I don't feel good. And then Chad Gable could have turned around and said, Otis here just ate 30 hot dogs. He's a hot dog eating champion. And then somebody should have called out, what are you talking about? Tozawa's over here at the barbecue. He's just eating 33. Then pan over to Tozawa, who's just sitting there with that expression on his face. He wasn't even in the contest, and he beat Otis. That would have been funnier. But they set this whole thing up just so Otis could throw up. in the ring. I mean, that's literally what they set this whole entire thing up for, and we'll get to that in a minute. But we then get AJ Styles versus The Miz, and before that, poor AJ Styles. I want you to think about this for a minute. AJ Styles literally got introduced, walked to the ring, got in the ring. They then went to commercial, after which they went to the hot dog eating contest, after which they went to, I think, the Miz talking about Logan Paul, the whole Logan Paul signing and all that. AJ Styles is literally in the ring waiting to wrestle for like 6-8 minutes at least before the Miz's music hits. I don't know what the hell he's doing in the ring for 6 or 8 minutes, but his music just keeps looping, I guess. I don't know why they do that. And then the second the match starts, it's a, well, it's commercial break. Holy shit, man. A lot of this match was done in a commercial break. Now, we all know that AJ Styles has called The Miz the greatest heel in the company. So, obviously, they're going to try to have a pretty good match, and they had a pretty good match. AJ, the right person, won. AJ Styles won. Tommaso Ciampa then attacks AJ Styles. Styles makes a comeback because, I think the reason Styles makes a comeback is because they don't want to promote Tommaso Ciampa, AJ Styles. So they want to make it look as though, well, AJ could take Tommaso Ciampa if it wasn't for the fact that The Miz recovered. But now Ciampa and Miz are obviously some sort of a unit, and that's going to spell trouble for Logan Paul. That's going to be probably the first guy Logan Paul comes in and has to fight before he fights The Miz. So you're kind of setting this up for Logan Paul. I feel sorry for Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa in NXT was among, if not the top guy. I mean, he was the champion, and he had to be one of the top guys as champion, right? And he is relegated now to, you know, basically the Bo Dallas or Curtis Axel B-team type thing, being a hanger-on of The Miz. He's not going to beat Logan Paul. He's also not going to beat AJ Styles if they do that. So, unfortunately, it looks like Tommaso Ciampa's spot on the main roster, Todd, is going to be rather minimal.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about this Tommaso Ciampa situation, they're making them come in every week to beat up somebody out of the crowd. That's his whole gimmick. Give him something else. Give him something else.
And he can't even do it successfully because AJ Styles was kicking his ass up until the point where The Miz recovered, so he can't even really do it successfully. And I can guarantee you, Mike, he's going to drop to Logan Paul.
Right, and look, they really, I'll say it again. I know they didn't want them back together, but they really shouldn't have let Gargano go. You know, you could have reformed DIY, and that could have been a great tag team, right? And so
yeah.
And it would have been a better situation for Ciampa. But, again, you know, the WWE just doesn't seem to think strategically, doesn't seem to think like they're playing chess like 3 or 4, 10 moves ahead, right? It's like they're playing checkers.
Yeah, you know, I said Ciampa probably wouldn't fit in too good with Judgment Day, and Judgment Day's not doing well, but he'd have been better off probably, right? He still would have probably been better off there than he is as second banana to The Miz in a Logan Paul feud. So, yeah, that's not good. Anyway, Liv Morgan comes out. Listen, here's the thing about Liv Morgan. I'm not changing my mind. People say to me all the time, now that I've said I'm not a big fan, they're saying, oh, come on, you're always saying give the crowd what they want, the crowd wants her. I admit that. This crowd absolutely loves Liv Morgan. I have no idea why. She's not a good worker. I don't find her particularly likable. Her voice is annoying. She does not cut a good promo. She cut a decent promo last night saying, well, it's all about the fans. But, I mean, you know, you're told to say that. It seems disingenuous. sometimes. I don't know. I don't see her as a great champion. I just see her as, okay, you're someone we're going to give the belt for a month or two. And fans, don't say we didn't give you what you wanted, because we did. We heard you like Liv Morgan, so we made her the champion. Don't cry when she loses it. Now, I've heard something else, and I've been defending Ronda Rousey. I've been saying Ronda Rousey's really turned into a pro wrestler, and I think she has. And I think she's done a wonderful job in the last several matches. I went from turning her matches literally off to I'm happy to see her wrestle. However, there's a story going around that Ronda Rousey said, I never asked for the belt, and I really don't want it, and it should go to the person in the dressing room who's the most passionate about this business. And the person who's most passionate about this business is Liv Morgan, so I'll drop it to her. And everyone's saying, isn't that wonderful of Ronda? Well, I guess. But if you really feel that way, then why don't you just lose to her flat out? Why do you say, well, pretend that I can't even walk, and I've just went through a 20-minute match with Natty, and I'm in so much pain I can't even stand up, and then she'll win it for me. If you truly feel that way, just say no. Just let her. We'll have a match and I'll lose. If you want to put her over so bad, wouldn't that be the way to put her over? So I'm not getting all excited about that if it's even true. If it is true, fine. It's a magnanimous gesture. But at the same token, there are better ways to put her over. Well, let's see. I've been blinded by something, and I'm crippled, and I've just went through a 30-minute match, and the referee's trying to help me out of the ring, and I'm practically on a stretcher, and I can't see, and she sneaks up behind me, and I'm still almost beat her, but then she beats me. Well, that's not putting her over. That's basically what a heel does, right? So I don't know how that puts Liv Morgan over. If you really felt that way, if you really said, look, this is the future, she's very passionate about this, then you say, look, let's have a 10-minute match, and I'll just lose. So I'm not really sure we should give her big props for that, Mike, if that story is true.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, and that's the thing. And we'll see what happens, because we know at some point Charlotte's coming back, right? We
yes.
know that. And we know at some point that another thing we know is that even if Sasha isn't coming back, which looks like now from what I'm reading and hearing and stuff, that they're just not gonna deal with her anymore, and she's not. I mean, yes, she may still be on the page, but I think they've not. They're just waiting. They're just biding their time and waiting with Sasha and Naomi. She'll be back, but it'll be one of these things where it you know, they'll, like you said, they'll bring her back and they'll put her on a little, to punish her, they'll put her on a somewhat of a losing streak and this, that, and the other, and then they'll start to build her back up again. We'll see if my theory holds true with Naomi, but we got people that are out or, you know, going to come back that are better. I mean, even though Naomi's not good on the mic, she doesn't have that whiny voice.
No, and, you know, we saw that again. She did a really good little spot saying the fans deserve this, and we did it, and you never lost faith in me even when I lost faith in myself. All that was fine. The minute Natty and Carmella got in the ring and went right back to... They got to tell her to stop. Remember when I said the same thing about Becky Lynch and she stopped doing it after a while? They must have told her to stop. Well, they got to tell her to stop because it's annoying. And not only is it annoying, it's almost... You see, she would be good as a face that has a little tiny bit of insecurity in her. In other words, when Natty comes out and says, look, honey, you're way in over your pay grade. You got lucky. You picked the bones that I had already beaten up. Do you honestly, in your wildest dreams, think you could beat me? Instead of saying, I think you beat anybody I want to beat. No, she should say, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But what I do know is this, Natty, I'm the champion. And I'm sure as hell going to try. If you think I'm just going to hand it to you, you're wrong. Because everybody told me I couldn't be here, and I am. So you're telling me I can't beat you? Maybe everybody thinks I can't beat you. Maybe I will. That's a hell of a lot better than going into Karen mode. And I got to talk to me. Stop it. I'm telling you, it's hurting your career. The fans still love her. To me, it's just nails on a blackboard. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But anyway, that leads to a tag team match because Carmella and Natty attack her. Bianca Belair comes out to make the save. And obviously we get Liv Morgan pinning Natty. Okay. My problem with Liv Morgan remains. Every time Liv Morgan sets up for a move, she looks like a girl going to do some gymnastics in a on a gymnastics mat. She backs up. She thinks about it. She times it, and she does it. It does not look like she's fighting. I'm sorry. It does not look like she's fighting. It looks like she's getting ready to do some moves she practiced in the ring beforehand, and I don't like it. I understand people, she has a certain charisma with some people. I don't think she's ready. I'm not saying she'll never be. She's definitely, you know, busting out some of the green that's still on her. You know, she's come a long way from where she was, although I do think her character was better when she was just a psychotic Harley Quinn type girl, but neither here nor there. Give her a year or so, and probably she'd be ready. I don't think she's ready now. It was an okay match at best, Todd, and again, I just think she telegraphs all her moves, and it's almost like she's unsure and says, okay, here I go, 1, 2, 3. I just don't like her style.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with this whole thing with this Liv Morgan doing this Harley Quinn thingy. The voice she was doing last night was annoying, and like you said, I don't think it's going to work out for her as a SmackDown Women's Champion or a Women's Champion at all.
Well, I think it's very I think it's very transitional. I think they'll get her to SummerSlam, and that's about as far as it's going to go. I don't see this being, you know, anything major. Mike Seth Rollins takes on Ezekiel. Boy, did that end quick, huh, Mike, as far as Ezekiel's push. By the way, I don't know where Kevin Owens is. My presumption is he got COVID because he's just not around. But Ezekiel has went from an interesting angle to just, oh, accept it. That's really his younger brother, and that's all there is to it, and he's moving on, and he has a zero personality. Already dropping matches, I know, to Seth Rollins. That's no big deal, but still he dropped it. He's already dropping matches. He's already was a non-factor in some of the other matches they had previously. I think this whole thing is starting to crash and burn.
Yeah, and I'm expecting at some point them to just take him off of TV for a couple of months, let him grow his hair and beard out, and he'll be back to being what we want, you know.
I hope, because if you think this is an improvement to Elias, what's Ezekiel's personality? I'm sorry, there's no comparison between the two. No comparison whatsoever. Anyway, United States Champion Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Theory and the Alpha Academy. Again, I'll say it. I'll keep right on saying it. Chad Gable's always the guy that gets pinned. But he's great. I wish they would just run with him a little bit. I wish they would just make the Alpha Academy something better. Because they're a really viable tag team. For a couple of reasons. One is, let's just say wrestling was not predetermined. This would be a really good team. Because you say, well, there's one guy here who's obviously a skilled wrestler. Olympic wrestler, right? He's small. He's fast. He knows all the wrestling moves. He knows all the submission holds. He's really a lot stronger than he looks, and he can wear you down. Then he tags out to this monstrosity of a guy who you just half the wrestling holds you know is not going to work on him because he's too big. And he's just going to flatten you with just sheer power and strength. That's a pretty good combination, right? So I don't know why you don't run with them. Plus, they're really good on the mic. They basically got everything you ask for, and you're just saying, eh, they're cannon fodder. And that's a shame. They're wasted. As far as I'm concerned, they're wasted. So once again, Gable loses, and Otis throws up. I don't know when he took the mouthful of that stuff. Somewhere along the line, he took a mouthful of debris and spit it out. It obviously wasn't puke. But was it funny? Not necessarily. I mean, I don't even think it was necessarily all that funny. I don't know. I just think that they're above that kind of thing, and I'm sorry to see that's the way they're using the mic, because then I don't really have much hope that Alpha Academy is going any farther than they are. Might have lost Mike, so let's go to Todd. Todd, what do you think about that angle?
Well, like you said about this, that thing with Otis last night, where he, like you said, I don't think that was really puke or anything. I just like,
no.
He didn't spit out.
Yeah, it's more like chewed up something. Yeah. Go ahead.
Or like you said, it's more like it was food coming out, not so didn't really throw up or anything. It was more like food he spit out.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's a shame, Mike, because, at this stage, I'm not thinking the Alpha Academy's up for much more than this in the eyes of the WWE. We're still not getting Mike. I don't know. We might have a problem with the phone line there. Anyway, let's talk about the R-Truth angle. R-Truth comes out as Uncle Sam. And when Gunther's music hit, I said, okay, this is going to be interesting. Not because I thought they actually had a match. Because I don't know why R-Truth would be fighting Gunther. I thought he was just coming to ruin a 4th of July celebration. And I thought there was going to be some, not too harsh words, but some words of, it's not worth celebrating, blah, 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 and then beating up the very effigy of Uncle Sam just for the hell of beating him up, making him a very strong sort of anti-American sort of character. I really thought that's what they were shooting for. But no, apparently R-Truth had a match. So if you dressed up like Uncle Sam, knowing you had a match, R-Truth, well, then that's your fault. So I wasn't too thrilled with this. I mean, I think it helps get Gunther over a little bit, but the other way would have helped them get over more. I think. Maybe they could have just told him, look, we're here to talk about Gunther. No one wants to hear about your stupid country and its traditions. Get out of the ring. R-Truth could have taken umbrage to that and got squashed for his efforts. I think that would have been better. But I guess they were running short of matches, so R-Truth took on Gunther. It didn't last long. And I'm not totally against this one, but I thought it could have been handled better. Let me go back to Mike and see if we got him on the phone. Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right. It couldn't have been handled better. And my second question is, what happened to that whole thing about I got to get my baby back? From R-Truth about the 24/7 title. What happened to that?
About that, yeah. We're supposed to be really invested in that, and then they just said, goodbye. We don't care. See, that's what the WWE does all the time, Mike. That's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I hate when they do that. Absolutely hate it. As far as the last match is concerned, Asuka and Becky Lynch, I knew that would be a good match. And I can tell you one thing, having watched this match very carefully. Asuka loves what she does, and she loves to be able to stretch it out a little bit. In other words, where there's a lot of women, and, you know, you can include Becky Lynch in this too, but when there's a lot of women who would say, well, I don't really want to do the tables and the and all that other stuff, you can tell that Asuka was having fun, and when the crowd was really excited for it, she was getting excited for it, right? And I think that's more like Asuka's style. She wants to do those more aggressive matches. And the WWE obviously doesn't want her to do a lot of those aggressive matches. So that's why I think we don't see that same passion out of Asuka. Last night we saw a lot of Asuka having fun in a match she knew she was going to lose, by the way. So, you know, this is another example of sometimes you have to let them stretch their wings a little bit. Becky Lynch did a good job in this match, too. Took a lot of abuse. Definitely gave the fans what they wanted. They ended the show with a decent bang. But I don't get this. If you're trying to show that Becky Lynch is on a downward spiral because this more aggressive, I don't care about the fans, heelish Becky Lynch isn't really her, and that's why she just doesn't seem to be able to get all of her ducks in a row, then she should have lost. To further that angle of why can I no longer succeed? I'm just as good as I always was, if not better. And my career's going downhill. I don't get it. I thought that's what you were heading for with this angle. So that then Becky Lynch could say, my problem has always been, I did this for the fans. And as soon as I stopped doing it for the fans, as soon as I started being selfish, as soon as I started getting sidetracked and listening to outside influences that I shouldn't listen to, my career went downhill. And I realized that the reason is because the fans are who I do it for. I thought she was heading for a big face turn based on I can't beat people this way. I can no longer do this because it's not really me. I tried to be this other character, and I can't be. I really thought that's where it was going. If that's where it was going, she would have lost to Asuka. So I guess it's not where it's going, Mike. So I have no idea where this is going, and it doesn't seem to make any sense.
Right. And think about this. You're talking about how Asuka looks like she's having fun. You know, she looked like she was having fun in this match, right? What did Moxley say when he left? He wanted to do more hardcore matches and stuff like that, right? And you look at him in AEW. He looks like he's having fun. He looks like he's having a blast, right? They're allowing him to do what he wants to do. The WWE didn't want Moxley to do that. And so at the end, he was very unhappy, and we saw the results of that, right? I think they need to let Asuka do more of this type of stuff because she can do it. And look, I'll say it again. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You look at Asuka and you look at Becky Lynch and you look at them and they're not the same person, obviously, but they're body-wise, Asuka is a friggin' fire hydrant, whereas Becky Lynch is skinny as a straw, you know?
I agree. You know, we're told, by the way, you can't body shame people. It's not body shaming them. If I saw Becky Lynch on the street, I'm sure I would say, wow, great body, you know, beautiful woman. But a professional wrestler? No. No. And I'm sure it's the same way if you saw somebody like an Adam Cole, you'd say, okay, well, that's a normal dude. Seems like he's in okay shape. Seems like a normal guy. But a professional wrestler? Probably not. You know, I was just mentioning that to a friend of mine the other day. I was watching some of the old up, up, down, down stuff and the AJ Styles stuff. And I was watching Xavier Woods and AJ Styles at AJ Styles' house going through some games. And I said, let's be honest. If you saw them in their street clothes, Woods is a little more muscular and thick, but he's short. So is AJ Styles. They are barely, barely what you would say, you're a professional wrestler? Oh, okay, well, you must be one of the smaller ones. Now, they're both great athletes, and AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler. But I'm saying if you're even a little bit less than that, it's starting to get into that area where it doesn't look good. Styles still quite muscular. Obviously, Xavier's kind of bulky muscular. You're right. Becky Lynch looks like a straw. Adam Cole looks like a straw. It's not body shaming them because in regular life, they look fine. Nobody's shaming them for what they look like. No one's shaming them at all. I'm just saying if you don't fit the part, would it be shaming a fat person if you said to them, you can't have this part in a movie because this person is supposed to be a marathon runner? And you're 350 pounds, would that be fat shaming them? Or would that just be logical that, well, no, you really don't fit this part? So I really don't think that, you know, it's shaming Becky Lynch to say it might be time to put on a pound or two. It's not the end of the world. Besides that, a little extra cushion taking some blows does not hurt. Look what ends up happening over in AEW. Now, I agree. You should let the people do a little bit more. There's got to be a happy medium. Okay? You don't have to have exploding barbed wire death matches. Obviously, AEW is racked with injuries. So is WWE. So you don't want that. You don't want every week we're having people risk their health. But there are certainly happy mediums to be reached. You can certainly say, well, you can use this or you can use that. Now, the umbrella thing, I think, was done poorly because when she brought the umbrella in, I said, well, what possible purpose could that serve? Even if she hits her with it, that's not going to hurt much. And then immediately we realized it was for Becky Lynch to take away and use as a shield for that green mist. That looked very, very pre-planned. You should have brought that umbrella in 5 minutes before Becky Lynch picked it up and used it for that. Use it to poke her in the throat, poke her in the stomach, hook her around the throat, whatever you're going to do. Make it look like you're an expert with that umbrella, you know, as a weird weapon that you've practiced with. And then when it's in the corner somewhere and Becky Lynch is laying in the corner getting up, she uses it and opens it up real quick and the green mist is foiled. But the way you did it, oh, that looked very, very pre-planned. Very pre-planned. But they took a good beating, both of them. It was best match of the night, that's for damn sure. But you're right, Mike. She's a little bit underweight, and it's not, again, that's not body shaming. That's just saying that you don't look the part, and, you know, that's important.
Right. When I say that Asuka looks like a fire hydrant, I mean, that's not body shaming either. That's what you want. I mean, she's short. You know, Asuka's, what, 5'1", 5'2", maybe. She's not tall, but she's thick. You know, she presents well, Asuka does. A lot of these people, I mean, look, what's her name? Even Naomi presents well. You know, you look at Naomi, and, yeah, she's a professional wrestler. You look at Becky
yep.
Lynch, nah. You know, she's a model. She's model thin. She's model good. She's not a professional wrestler good, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we could go down the list and say, okay, Charlotte's fine. Obviously, Bianca Belair is fine. You can tell. She looks like an athlete. She looks like somebody really bust ass. Okay, she's fine. Asuka's fine. There are people who are fine. Ronda Rousey's obviously, you know, fine. And then there's a few that you're just like, man, I'm sorry, but it looks like they would break you in a freaking half That was always my problem with Sasha Banks. She was so small and tiny and delicate. I'm like, are you really going to tell me she's taking on like Doudrop? Come on. Please. That's always been a problem. That's why I actually like Bianca Belair, because regardless of what you say about her sometimes sounding like a heel, and she does, there's never any doubt when you see her. If you never saw professional wrestling in your life and Bianca Belair came out there, you'd be like, well, that's obviously a very finely tuned athlete. I mean, you can tell. She's not small. I mean, she's somewhat short, and she's not heavy set by any stretch of the imagination, but she's muscular. She's a little bit thick, and you can say, well, that's definitely someone who works out on a regular basis hard. That's definitely an athlete. Whereas some of these women, I'm sorry, they don't look it. Some of the men, too. So I do think that's a problem, Todd, and I think specifically it's getting to be a problem with Becky Lynch.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the body-shaming thing. Like you're saying, you're not body-shaming anybody. You're just telling it like it is, how they look, actually.
That's all. It's, you know, 90% of wrestling is how you present yourself, right? I don't know. Anyway, they showed the Edge thing again. It's definitely Edge that's coming back. I guess he'll come back and fight Finn Balor, and I would think that that's probably going to be the end of Judgment Day. All in all, was this a good show? No. I'm going to be easier on it, though, than I am on a normal show, and I'll tell you why, because the WWE clearly knew not many people are going to be watching on the 4th of July. So I cannot blame them for putting on a show that was just kind of like, eh, down the line. I did love Akira Tozawa's part in the hot dog eating contest. He's brilliant. I did like the end match. I thought that was fantastic. Aside from that, not a lot to recommend here. So I'm going to give it a, I'm going to give it a flat C for a show that they obviously knew people weren't going to be watching and wanted to just make a very lowbrow show, Mike. It wasn't terrible, so I'll give it middle of the road.
I got to give it a C as well, and I also like the fact that when we finally get a chance to see her, Alexa Bliss, and she goes, I want to carry more than what I've been carrying, and that's Lily, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Meaning I want to carry a championship.
Yeah, you know, that was a good segment, too. I forgot about that. And then Asuka, the thing about Asuka, every single time Asuka comes into the picture, she does – I don't know if she has a firm grasp on the English language because I never really understand 100% of what she's saying. She tries to convey it mostly with her body language. And you can see Alexa Bliss trying not to laugh, by the way, when she's just doing the dance saying, I don't even know what she was saying, but she has such enthusiasm that it's fun to watch. And I think there's something up with Alexa Bliss now. They're showing her a couple of times as kind of disgruntled that she's not getting what she wants. And maybe there's going to be more to this than meets the eye soon. I think the WWE realizes we're wasting Alexa Bliss, and she was our number one cash cow with the women's merchandise selling, and we got to get her front and center again. We got to get her somewhere where fans are going to start buying her crap again. And I got a feeling they're going to do something with her. At least I hope they're going to do something with her. Todd, what's your rating this week on their 4th of July show?
I got to go with you guys. I got to give it a thing great, a C.
Yeah, it wasn't outstanding, but, I mean, you know, again, they knew very few eyes were going to be watching. I almost didn't. I picked it up like an hour late and started it over from the beginning on my DVR. And, again, other than just a couple of things, there was nothing really that was major. I am worried a little bit, though, about the Seth Rollins thing. It seems like they're just trying to tread water with him, Mike, until they get Cody Rhodes back, and that's still several months away. it almost seems like Seth Rollins is just stuck in this area where they're like, well, he's still a major player, but we don't really have anything to do with him, so we'll just put him in meaningless feuds.
Right. I get that, too, and that's the thing. And I mean, I'm still waiting for them to flip. It's time. We've said it before, and we've been saying it for a long time. It's time for them to flip Seth Rollins. The Joker gimmick is done. The Visionary gimmick is starting to get a little bit old. It's time for them to flip him.
I 100% agree with you, and it would be so easy to do if you kept that Becky Lynch thing going, and Becky Lynch went back to being a face, saying this is where I should have been to begin with. I screwed my whole career up. Seth Rollins could kind of fight against it and say, I don't know why you're giving people this kind of credit and blah, 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 but eventually see the error of his ways too, come to his wife's defense and be the face. Because you're right, this whole thing is getting old now. But unfortunately, they put all their eggs in the basket of we want him and Cody Rhodes to have this epic feud that's going to last for eternity, and then Cody Rhodes got hurt. So the WWE's on treadmill mode. Just keep Seth Rollins' face in front of the crowd until Cody gets back again. I think it's a bad mistake. You know what I'd love to see? I would love to see the situation flipped. I would love to see Seth Rollins turn face, get the whole crowd behind him, and when Cody Rhodes comes back, Cody Rhodes can say, what the hell is this? I leave here because this scumbag did whatever he did to me, and all of you people were behind me, and I was the greatest thing, and oh boy, I was so wonderful for fighting at Hell in a Cell with my pectoral muscle ripped off my chest, and now you're cheering this guy. Screw you. That would be a hell of a great angle, where Seth Rollins could explain to him, what I did then was not what I'm doing now. You can't judge that, and have Cody Rhodes just be like, no, I'm hurt. I'm done. Okay, I gave you fans everything. I risked my whole career for you, and you're cheering the guy who did it to me. So screw you. I'd love to see that, Mike, but that's not in the cards, I guess.
I guess that's not in the cards either. And look, I mean, we've speculated that at one point that they wanted Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch to be a power couple, right? You know?
Yeah.
And your theory would basically lead to that. Your booking of both of them would basically lead to those two becoming a power couple.
And they should be. Because people genuinely care about Becky Lynch, and people like Seth Rollins. They might boo him, but they like him. So you may as well give them a reason to like him. If you really want to give the fans what they want, instead of giving them Liv Morgan as a interim champion for a couple of weeks, give them the Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch that they want to cheer. That's my opinion anyway. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday with a weekly wrap-up. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.